Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I want to address our attention to this morning is one of the readings that you heard previously just a few moments ago, the second reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the fifth chapter. It is the conclusion of a marriage ceremony, and two rather starry-eyed people joyfully recess down the aisle, and a woman wipes a tear from her eye, and she says to her companion, "If ever there was a marriage made in heaven, this is it." Well, marriages are indeed happy occasions, and I've had the privilege of officiating at many of them, and there's so many I can't possibly count. I don't know how many it's been over the years. However, the sad reality is that many of them do not last. I think perhaps the record for me was one very early in my years in the ministry. It may have been the very first one, I'm not sure, but it didn't even last through the honeymoon. And a member of our congregation said to me somewhat later, "You must have tied that one with a slip knot." Well, so it seemed. But it is sad, and God is very concerned about marriage, because, after all, it was His idea. He instituted it by bringing Adam and Eve together. But God is interested in all human relationships, and He wants to bless them, as we recognize that there are many also who live very fulfilled and blessed lives in the single state as well. So the words before us today from the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, though addressed especially, obviously, to married persons, they actually speak to all of us, married or not, as we strive to do everything, as he says, out of reverence for Christ. He states the fundamental principle this way: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now that is how we relate and connect to one another as a result of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and in us. But submission is not necessarily a welcomed word in our culture of competition, dominance, power, influence, and control. But it is safe to say that no marriage, no relationship of any kind, and no community can ever exist in harmony if everyone is striving for dominance over everybody else. It simply does not work. Rather, it is submission in the sense of voluntary yielding in love, in Christ-like love, and that is the thing that can bind us together. It is out of reverence for Christ, that is, with a holy awe for what He has done for us. It is He who has submitted Himself to every requirement of God's law in our place, and who yielded in love even to death on the cross, setting aside Himself for those He came to seek and to save, namely you and me and the entire world. Now this becomes not only a point of doctrine, but a new way of life. So it is a general statement here in this practical section of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Jesus submitted Himself to death on the cross for you and me. He has transferred us from death to life, from darkness to light, from hopelessness to assured salvation by grace alone. He has done all of this. This is indeed what we believe. But it is also what we live and what we do. Submitting to one another in love, being willing to put aside our desires and needs and wants in favor of those of others. So all of these words, especially as they address husbands and wives, should be seen together as a unit, because essentially, in a sense, they all say the same thing, though in slightly different ways. And what is especially true of marriage is really true of all of us. Now, specifically, To wives, he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself her Savior. Now, certainly, you look at those words, and we are apt to say, well, it does certainly seem as if they are culturally conditioned according to customs of the time. To some extent, this is probably true. But at the same time, there are universal truths at work here. There can be little doubt that people have sometimes used such words as these to justify abuse, degradation, oppression, and loveless suppression. Jesus himself recognized that by taking the side of the woman against many of the men of his day who seemed to have the idea that women were like slaves or just like cattle. You could just dispense with them if they did something that didn't please you. And Jesus does not allow that. But at the same time, there are some general God-given and timeless principles. Paul is speaking here to Christians, people who knew and believed in Christ-like submission. He is not setting up here a general principle as somehow to say as if women should never, ever hold a position of authority or leadership. That is not at all what he is saying. But he is saying specifically in the context of marriage, to wives, practice the submission that comes from knowing Jesus. Submit to, serve, love, honor, and respect your husband. See Christ in him, imperfect and flawed as indeed he is, but see Christ in him, who is the head of the church and its Savior. He stands in the place of Christ as its head. He is the head not in the sense of a tyrant, but a caring and loving provider. Because the word head here is not used in the sense of a merciless and willful ruler, and certainly not in the sense of submission to abuse or domination. Not at all. It is a submission in the sense of joyful and loving service to the husband as to Christ. Now, having said all of that, it is interesting to notice that he has more than twice as many words to husbands as he does to wives. Very simply and powerfully, he says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That too is to be out of reverence for Christ. So, what kind of love is this that he commands for husbands? It is not merely what we sometimes call falling in love, a kind of an infatuation which a person may feel for a time and get tired of later. No, it is not that. It is a decisive act of the will to be loving in a way that is patterned after Christ's love for the church. And he even more clearly defines it when he says, gave himself up for her, and by the washing of water with the word, cleansing her by the washing of water with the word. And it's interesting to notice also that the word which is translated church from the original is a feminine noun. So the comparison is clear and direct. It is a determined act of the will, as it was indeed for Jesus, for his church. That is, his called out people who know him and love him. He makes us holy before God by cleansing us from sin and every evil. He has presented his church as a bridegroom would do his bride, a church that is in his eyes, it says, without spot or wrinkle and any such thing, holy and without blemish. And so we are beautiful in his eyes. We are loved and accepted by him. We are washed clean in our baptism. We are forever his holy bride. Now that is not just something in the abstract. It is something here and now. In the same way, he says, as we are cleansed in the forgiveness water of our baptism and empowered in his word of saving grace, in the same way, husbands should love their wives. This is the saving gospel of Christ becoming real in relationships, especially in marriage. It is husbands giving of themselves for their wives, as did Christ, foregoing the necessity of always having the last word, honoring their wives as Christ did his people. And they are to do this, he says, as they love themselves. Well, no husband can ever really be truly always a loving husband if he does not have a clear and secure image of himself as a child of God, always being nourished in God's forgiving love and acceptance of him. And this is true, for that matter, for all of us in every human relationship, because when we have a clear sense of who we are as the people of God, then we are freed to give of ourselves for others. It's interesting to notice that Jesus does not have to give us his body and blood again and again in the Holy Supper, but he does. Now, he did that for us once on the cross, sufficient ransom for the sins of the world, but he continues to feed us with the same thing, repeating over and over again, I love you, I forgive you, I accept you, now go in my peace. Does that say anything to our relationships with one another? Surely it does. Because this same nurturing, feeding, and sustaining love will permeate husband and wife connections as well as all human connections. To feed it, we feed it. And we say it, we practice it. I love you. I respect you. I treasure you. In marriage, there is a leaving and a cleaving. Paul is quoting words from the Old Testament. Leaving some things behind to be able to move ahead into something new, establishing a new home with new priorities. But so also it is sometimes in life in general. We need to leave some things behind. Moving away from what was so that we can move into what is and what will be. Sometimes that is not easy. We mourn our losses and we grieve for what was. But out of reverence for Christ, we can always move forward because we are joined to him as his very own for eternity. So there is no comfort in this text either for the radical feminist or for oppressive male dominance, for neither one. In fact, there is none for anyone who is into dominance and power and suppression. Rather, to everyone, these words are, out of reverence for Christ, submit to one another. Love one another, as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for her. We live under God's forgiveness for our failure to do this perfectly, but also under the life-giving and renewing power of his Holy Spirit to make a new beginning at it every day. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.